step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porter with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Looking ahead to the Super Bowl and talking all things NFL. And to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in Mike Golic Jr. from ESPN. Mike, what's going on, man? How we doing?
I'm doing well. Appreciate you guys having me.
Appreciate you taking time to join us. And Mike, we've got a lot to get into in the NFL, but I do want to get your thoughts quickly about the news the other day. I was so excited when I was scrolling through Twitter and I see the news that EA Sports is coming back out with a college football game at some point. Not going to be this year, but obviously that was met with a whole lot of reaction. I know you had some reaction as well to it. How big a deal is this in the world of college sports? And where do you see this going in terms of name, image, and likeness and the conversation around that with the NCAA?
Yeah, well, I think it's just that, the clever omission of the words NCAA from the EA Sports announcement, right? It was a college football video game in this, because I think they're reading the tea leaves on where everything's been going with all of this. They're looking 2 or 3 years down the road and saying, hey, this name, image, and likeness stuff seems to have a lot of support from people that are going to hold the NCAA feet to the fire. And so I'm sure they're anticipating a world where FBS, big-time Division I football, has even less, I think, association with the NCAA than it does now. And all of a sudden, the group licensing things that are available to leagues like the NFL with something like Madden will be available in college football, and they'll be able to make this happen. So it's twofold. One, we'll have the game back, which, for the growth of the sport, to reach younger fans, I mean, we've seen the foothold soccer has started to get in this country that I think goes all the way back to the FIFA video game and the way that took hold with so many younger players. But now you can bring that back with college football and the video game. And in theory, it seems like players playing the game might actually be able to put some coin in their pocket, which is always good for me.
Yeah, and we talked some about this before, Mike, and I think we are like-minded on this. But at this moment, what do you think about name, image, likeness, and where it's going? We're getting more troubling rhetoric from the NCAA, not surprising at all. But how do you feel about, you know, that situation right now?
Yeah, the NCAA kind of reminds me, you know, you see in like every train heist movie, there's that point where the train is barreling out of control and they're trying to hit like every emergency brake valve and it's just skidding towards the canyon. The NCAA is trying to use legality to stop something that they know, I think in their heart of heart, they no longer have control of here. And I won't pretend that there aren't specifics to this that the NCAA is dealing with. I know some good people that work in and around the NCAA, and there are really people that want the best for athletes in all of this, but the machine is the thing that I worry about. And I think ultimately they recognize that this is something that once lawmakers got in on the fight and once local and state governments got in on the fight, they were going to have a hard time controlling. And so I think they smell the beginning of the end.
Mike Golic Jr. from ESPN on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Mike, obviously, looking ahead to the big game coming up on Sunday between Kansas City and Tampa Bay, let's start with Tom Brady and this side of things. 43 years old, his first year in Tampa Bay, and he gets them to the Super Bowl. Obviously, I mean, a ton of accomplishments for Tom Brady, widely regarded as the greatest quarterback of all time. Where does this season and the ability to get this team to the Super Bowl in his first year rank in your mind in terms of the accomplishments that we've seen from him, especially given that he's done it at the age of 43?
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be like a top three, top five kind of deal for Tom already, because I think we can counterbalance a couple of things. He walked into an offense that we saw could hum. We saw that going back to last year, and Todd Bowles and that defense took a big step, you know, last year, and we're a top five defense in a lot of ways. But overall, he came into a great situation. But to make all of this transition during a year where they weren't going to have a normal offseason, you had a completely disjointed summer and fall camp leading into a year where we watched them go through growing pains in real time. But to do that in a division that had been dominated for so long by New Orleans, to take their lumps against that team in the division during the year and then get the win when it mattered in the postseason, I think seeing him be able to work through these things in real time is such a testament to the things that players and teammates have always told us about Tom Brady. But to see outside of that New England Petri dish, to see outside of the situation with Bill that it always looked like such a well-oiled machine, I think it's kind of a reminder that players like Tom Brady were going to be great no matter where you put them. But the New England format and him combining with Belichick netted us a legacy that probably won't ever get touched.
So, Mike, how concerning are the Chiefs' injuries up front? How much do you think that impacts what we see Sunday?
I think based on what we saw in the NFC Championship game, incredibly concerning, right? And what the Packers failed to do, I think, is where the Chiefs will differ, is the Packers, when their backup linemen were in that game, no David Bakhtiari, they had to shuffle guys around like they had for a lot of the year. The four-man rush ate them alive, and I thought it took them far too long to adjust. I think Kansas City offensively does a lot of things that are naturally going to help their tackles. If you've got to move Mike Remmers from right tackle to left tackle because of that Eric Fisher injury and kind of adjust along the way, think about all the jet motion they do, all the fast pieces outside of just Tyreek Hill, Mecole Hardman, Pringle, these guys that they can use to spread defenses east and west. I have a feeling we're going to see a lot of those jet motion handoffs go for big plays, but at the very least be big parts of the offense early. Because now if you're Jason Pierre-Paul and Shaq Barrett, you got to think a little bit more. You're already going against an offense that you know has speed to burn at almost every position, and so they have to make them think a lot early. That's the best thing I could ever hope for as an offensive lineman, is that our offense did things to make the defensive linemen stop and think, because they're NASCARs. They want to go. They want to turn and burn and get towards the quarterback. And so I think Kansas City's offense, just in what they do normally, trying to give you all sorts of eye candy, I think they can do a lot to help this offensive line out.
Mike, are we watching the birth of the next dynasty in the NFL in terms of the Chiefs? I mean, it looks like with Mahomes, as long as he's under center, they've got a chance to win each and every year. Is this the next dynasty in the NFL, in your opinion?
It should be, yeah. I think it's a combination of things. Because remember, the Patriot tentpole was about, you know, it was Robert Kraft, Bill Belichick, and Tom Brady kind of being the things that held up that entire organization. Because when you've got those groups working together, a lot can be possible. And now you're dealing with a quarterback in Patrick Mahomes that is markedly more physically talented than Tom Brady. Like, that's not even close what we're dealing with as far as the gifts that he brings to this. And so what you've got is now the long-term stability of that. And I think a formula that they can continue to replicate. Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce are the other difference makers on offense. They're markedly better than most people at their position. But the rest of the speed, the way they've been able to scout and find players that fit what they do and then bring them into the understanding of that organization, you can keep replicating that over the course of years while having to pay out really top dollar kind of money to only a handful of spots in here. And I think the Chiefs have a really clear understanding of their identity. And for that reason, yeah, it seems like they've got, you know, barring injury, like we always say, everything you need to make this thing sustainable.
So we'll get through this game Sunday, Mike, and then we can get back to the real fun, which is the quarterback carousel of the NFL. Incredible offseason that has already begun. I'd like to get your analysis of the Stafford, you know, the Lions-Rams trade, and then what you think about the Deshaun Watson situation and where that ends up.
Yeah, so the Stafford trade is really interesting. I am a huge fan of Matthew Stafford. Like, as an offensive lineman, he's everything you want. Quarterback. I mean, that guy has gritted his way through more injuries, made more unbelievable plays. Like, he's a gamer, he's a warrior, he's all those things. But it's also the situation he's walking into. Detroit spent the last few years trying to get him killed. Like, just look in 2020 alone, the Rams were seventh in the percentage of plays using motion before the snap, something we see players and teams do all over football that helps them out. Lions were 20th. The Rams were first in percentage of plays with seven or more pass blockers. The Lions were 21st. Like, for Matthew Stafford, that got sacked 42 times, I believe, last year, he's already going to walk into a situation that just with those two things is going to keep him upright a little more. And now you throw in the rest of that offense with Sean McVay that does such a good job scheming players open that helped Jared Goff become a much better player than we saw in year one. And I kind of admire the strategy the Rams use. They continue to swing big. Now, they miss, and they've handed out some bad contracts. But they definitely continue to swing big. And with a team this close to a championship window, that's all you can really ask for, I think, as a player or a fan, is for your organization to keep going all in on something like this.
Then what about Watson?
I think with Watson, Miami still seems to be the most natural fit. I know Miami and the Jets have a ton of capital, but I think that Jets roster is just way too far away at this point for Deshaun Watson to want to sign up for a rebuild. I still think he ends up getting moved. I know that Houston's come out and that, you know, Cesario said we have no intention, 0% chance of moving him, but that's fine to say now and a lot different when we're getting towards March and all of a sudden you're going to have to reconcile, because it sounds like Deshaun Watson probably going to be in the kind of mode where he's not going to show up and make this easy on Houston based on what we've heard already. So I'd imagine he gets moved, and I'd imagine Miami makes the most sense. They showed last year they're closer than we gave them credit for when they signed Brian Flores to that six-year contract and that long road ahead. That long road got sped up, and no disrespect to Tua Tagovailoa, but if you can get a Deshaun Watson in there, all of a sudden you have a chance to challenge the Bills for a division that's wide open for the first time in two decades.
Mike, last thing for you here. Speaking of that division, how do you think Bill Belichick feels right now watching Brady playing in this game? And obviously you look at the Patriots, their offense this year was just abysmal at times. What do you think the future looks like there? Should Bill Belichick try for a big move, maybe try to bring Deshaun Watson to New England?
Yo, listen, I think they should absolutely be throwing their hat in the ring on the sweepstakes. Now, we just saw some of the reports about Stafford not necessarily wanting to be there and go to a place that is world famous for being as strict a regime as we know they run in New England. And so you wonder if Deshaun Watson, who lived under the sort of B-list version of that for the last few years, is going to want to sign up for it. But I'd imagine New England tries to swing for something like that. I don't know if Bill is going to be in this for another rebuild and having to grow a quarterback from the ground up, but I would imagine they're not done. Bill was pretty candid about their cap situation, about what they'd been dealing with in prior years, at the end of the Tom Brady era there, how they were trying to piece things together with minimal flexibility. Now it seems like they've got a lot more of that, and I'd still say Bill Belichick and the Patriots, knowing how, you know, the ingenuity they've displayed in the past, I know they're going to be a dangerous player this offseason. I'm excited to see what they do.
Mike Golic Jr. from ESPN has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexburg. Mike, appreciate so much you taking time to join us.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely. Mike Golic Jr. here on Robbie and Rex Road. When we come back, we'll react to a little bit of what Mike had to say there. Look ahead to the Super Bowl and get back to your text on the Titans as well. A lot of new numbers on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Appreciate you guys texting in and participating here on the show. If you've never texted before, give us a shout. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here. And if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.